I spoke to my grandson here just a moment ago. It's a long story, I won't bore you with the details, but he had to come to Pennsylvania to replace his truck in Rapid City, South Dakota. He had to come in here and replace his truck, which was demolished in an accident. But anyway, the same time I left to go to the wedding yesterday, at the same time, he was leaving to go back to Rapid City, South Dakota, which is a 23-hour drive. And 20 minutes after I arrived here this morning, he arrived in Rapid City, South Dakota, and he drove all night, and he is back at his base now, so praise God. But while he was here, he shared a little bit of wisdom from his 23 years here on earth that helps me a little bit today in my storytelling. And I'll share that with you a little bit later as we go along. But we're so thankful that God put him there. And I told him that God safely guided and directed him back there, trying to witness to him and allow him to see God working in his life. And I also shared with him that some of what he said to me, I will share with you this morning and ask him to pray for me. And he said I would be very humbled by that because he is thinking. We can take a flight this morning. We've already been through security. And we went through as we passed through security. They were looking and searching us and searching through our luggage and searching our belt buckles and every other imaginable place they are searching. But I thought it good, you know, we have a bunch of young folks now that have joined us. And I thought it would be good this morning that I should share with you a little bit about my life, though short it is. I think I'm the oldest guy in the church anymore. So that's some 83 years that I have to share with you. And I'll bore you with the details here just for a bit. I'm hopeful to have something in there. There are young people I wish more of were here. But I want to share something with them so that we may find common ground somewhere where we are able to carry on a conversation. I graduated in, a little bit of my history, graduated in 1960 from, how long ago was that? Yoro, right? From the Benton High School, and I went on to grew up on a dairy farm, and as life began for me, then I found it necessary to take some other employment. So I began to drive a mobile feed truck, going around from farm to farm to grain feed. And what leads me into this story is, as I traveled, one of the places was up above Wilkes-Barre Stream, and it was a long, long day. And on the way home, the speed limit used to be for trucks on Route 11, 45 miles an hour, no more. And so when I would come home from up there being tired, I had to pedal to the metal. And I passed a trooper, and he let me know that I was exceeding the speed limit. And so you got me. You got me once, but you won't get me again, right? So the following week, I'm up there and coming home again, and my worldly thought is, he won't be there, is he? So, pedal to the metal again. Same trooper let me know that I was exceeding the speed limit once again. And this went on into the third week, and sure enough, he got me the third time. One of that time, he said, you are not going to be speeding from here back to home because I'm going to follow you the whole way home. And he did that. And so I said, oh boy, I'm in trouble now by the law in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm going to lose my license. And so I thought, well, this perhaps is a good time to go into the Marine Corps. So I enlisted in the Marine Corps knowing that I was going to lose my license permanently. I was in the Marine Corps when President Kennedy was assassinated on high alert, of course, as you always are when there's an assassination. Then went from there to be part of the Cuban blockade, traveling through the Panama Canal. And then from there, you know, all over the Far East. You know, I spent 378 days aboard ship out of the 3 years that I was in there, attaining to the rank of corporal. But then got out from there, and then I became, from home, I became a milk tester, going around testing milk for butterfat. Then I graduated from that into becoming an artificial inseminator. I became an artificial inseminator and done that for a number of years, but I needed to make more money. So we hashed up this plan whereby the 3 Mile Island was just beginning at that time. And so, well, you know what? I had a good friend said he would help me out to get into the carbon regime. Now, I had no experience, but I went to the union, and they said, well, you know what? It was in your grandfather's blood because he was a union carver. I did not know that. And so he said, we're going to go give you a card. So they gave me a card. I went to 3 Mile Island, was amongst the first to be there, the first to be hired. And that didn't end well because I let my pride get ahead of me and kind of picked on the superintendent somewhat, and he gave me an education in life. You're laid off. You don't need you anymore. So I came home and helped build houses for a good friend of mine who built this, or who was responsible for moving this church up on the hill here where we are now. But anyway, that kind of led me on in life to where I built my own house. I started off laying blocks, never laid blocks before in my life. And my dad said, I'll come and help. I'll show you how. So he came and laid the first 2 blocks and said, I'll see it. And some 2,400 blocks later, 12-inch blocks, I finally got it up. And the foundation, and then worked and worked and worked and worked. And so we finally got our house built. Then decided we were going to lay bricks on that house. Never laid brick before either, but we started in, my wife and I, and we still have a little 10-quart bucket that she carried mortar to me. As I mixed the mortar, she would carry it to me in mud, and then I would lay the bricks. And started on the backside of the house. So if you ever come to our house, look at the backside. That's where all the mistakes are. And we went around the house, but we finally had 23,000 bricks, and we got them all done finally. So we're thankful for that. God gave us a place to live. But I was always had excuses, you know. Why? And I became a believer at about age 14, and I was kind of wishy-washy, I would say. Always had an excuse why I couldn't go to church. You know, I'm an artificial inseminator, and when the call comes in, I have to go and read this cow, and that's on Sundays. You don't take a day off on Sundays too, so I used to drive by here when this church was just starting way back then. And I drive by here, you know, I've got to be out of here, I have to be doing this. And then I go to 3 Mile Island. Now I got another excuse because I have to leave early on Sunday to get back for Monday. How far is it to 3 Mile Island? A couple hours. So it was not a very good excuse. But anyway, excuses, why I could not be at church. I had a sniffle or whatever or something. I always had an excuse. But the Lord was working on me, and as they asked me Oh, really, a number of years ago, I don't remember exactly when that was. What I considered teaching Sunday school for the young people. Well, at the time, I was a, what they call a secret smoker. I mean, what I call a secret smoker anyway. I think there's some, probably some in the audience here today that had similar things that they were doing. And so, and I always remember from the Marine Corps, when I went in the Marine Corps, you know, I don't smoke. I didn't smoke when I went in the Marine Corps. But they had, you know, the big thing, you're not really a man unless you're smoking. So I got indoctrinated into that, and I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. So I was a proud camel smoker. They're the worst ones, right? So I'm tough. I've smoked camels. One day, I'm now fast forward a little bit. I was now I'm a truck driver. After I got left go from Three Mile Island, became a truck driver, and I'm going up the hill. I never forgot that. The Danbury, Connecticut, right up the hill, and kind of just fired along. Brother Ray will know this. I had a 238 Detroit at the time, so you know I wasn't going fast. And that doesn't mean a lot to you, except to say that they said that a 238 or a Detroit engine is the proof that the Bible is true, because in the last days there will be screaming monsters on the face of the earth. And that's what they were, screaming monsters that didn't go anywhere. And so anyhow, I said to the Lord, just talking to the Lord, going up the hill very slow. And I said, Lord, you know, if I'm going to teach this class, I have to be, I got to let my light, my torch, if you will, shine before these young people. And I need to give up this vice that I have. But Lord, you're going to have to help me because I'm hooked on this. And I rolled the window down and I had a brand new pack of camels. You never forgot that. A brand new pack of camels out the window. I became a literary about this. Threw them out the window. And they were gone. Forever. Now, anybody that's ever tried to stop smoking knows it's a very difficult thing until you get hooked on it. And then somebody lights one up and you say, ooh, boy, that smells good. And so the Lord was in it the whole way. I never missed them, still do not to this day. And so that was the Lord working in me. And today we want to take this light together. We've already been through security, and now we're ready to board. We are ready to board. So we're going to take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to examine just a bit what the Lord would have to say to all of us. Matthew 25, and I think that we'll just begin for the sake of time here. We'll begin with verse 14. You're all familiar with these verses. I know you've heard them before. And so while we're boarding, just keep in mind there's a, who's driving this thing? You know, I say we joke and they say that, who's driving? And so the pilot, what's he doing during those times? He is beginning his pre-flight checklist. I didn't tell you that. The Lord blessed me during my course of tenure on this earth. He blessed me with being able to become a private pilot and to fly twin engine aircraft, which I'm immensely thankful for. But I never got certified because my company owned the plane and I was to be the co-pilot because the boss's wife was a pilot. And however, it's a long story and I won't get into that. But they sold the plane and there went my twin engine license right down the tube. So I never got a chance to do that, but I did learn a lot from all of these things and have been in some ferocious storms and know some of the in the sky and know some of the things that can go on. And I'm thankful and grateful for that. But it tells us here in verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we know that just prior to that, first we should go to the Lord now for a word of prayer. Providing our God now as we pause to examine the scripture just a bit, that we pause to cause our thinking to be uncovered, our thinking to be stirred as we examine where it is on our ticket to where we are going, our plane ticket, if you will. And Lord, as we do these things, we ask for your guidance, your instruction. Let us each one search our destination to be sure that we are on the right flight and we are going to the right place so that when we arrive, we will have reached truly our destination. And we ask now for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know in just the prior verses to this, there was the 10 virgins who came with their torches, hearing that the bridegroom was coming. The bridegroom would be Christ. The 10 virgins who were coming were those carrying their torches, it says lamps in the scripture. And the commentator says that is a torch, most likely. And we all have our torches, just like the 10 virgins who came. And as they were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom, if you will, awaiting the arrival of our Christ, they became drowsy, and they began to fall asleep. And we know we've had issues like that ourselves. Now, we all carry our own torch, hopefully, that the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, if you will, can be seen. We like to carry our torch around. We like to proclaim that we are Christians, Christ ones, that we do follow Christ. We can be very sly about that, if you will, just like the person who came through the check line that's boarding the same plane that we're boarding. There are those who are true, and good people that are boarding, and then we know the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? There are those who have intentions that are not so good. They're not guarding carefully their heart. But as they carry their torch, and we carry our torch through life, they became a little sleepy. And so the wise ones become the sheep now, who is waiting for the Lord return. And those who are a little bit hypocrite, those who carry the torch around and say, I am a Christ one. I am a professing Christian. Look at me. I hold a card. I'm a card holder, if you will. And you can see that I have my card with me. But as they became sleepy, they hear a cry. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. So they, ones who are wise, those who are the sheep, they immediately trimmed the wick for their torch and added a little bit more oil, for they were thoughtful. They brought along a little bit of extra oil with them so they could keep their light shining. But the ones who were hypocrites didn't plan ahead. They were not thinking of how my conduct is in my life. They were not planning for this, waiting on the Lord. So what did they say? Please give me some of your oil. Please give me some of your oil, that I may keep my torch burning. But the wise said, no, I'm sorry, we don't hardly have enough for ourselves. Why don't you go and buy grace, if you will, buy from the supply of grace that God has. You go and do that. In the meantime, they said, the bridegroom is here. So the wise ones, the one that had their torches trimmed and ready to go, they went into the bridegroom. And as the story goes on, now comes the five that were unwise, who went to purchase the oil. While they were purchasing the oil, the door closed. And they said, Lord, Lord, let us in. Will you let us in? I'm sorry, I don't know you. And the door closed, and they were lost forever. So, what we want to see and what we want to gain from all of this is that in the beginning of verse 31 now, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. This is very significant. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, the righteous into eternal life. Now to bring in the goat. What I learned from my grandson, the goats are stupid. Boy, that's significant. Wow. My daughter-in-law has a whole bunch of goats. And my wife goes out there and says, boy, they're funny. Look at them. Look what they do. They're just funny. I had a new car, and I pulled in there, and it had salt on it going on the highways here. And I said, I worry about the goat, and I can just picture a goat standing on the roof of my car. And I'm worried about them, and I see them. I've already seen them nibbling at my door handles and that sort of thing. And my wife said, that's cute. You know, but my grandson tells me they are stupid. And my wife says, I don't really believe that. They're so cute. They're so much fun to watch. And we sat in the house and I said, I miss him. She said, he's worried about his car with the goats. They said, well, my daughter-in-law says, oh, they're not chewing on the door handles, but they are licking the salt off the car. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. So when you go outside now, you see the little lick marks all over the car. And they look absolutely horrible. Yeah, it didn't hurt the car, I mean, probably, but I was really concerned about it. The other thing I learned about goats, what my grandson taught me is that they... should something catch on fire, they will not run from the fire, they'll run into the fire. Now, if you don't believe me, you can actually look that up on Google, and sure enough, you know, that's what it says. A goat will run right into a fire. Why did they do that? But I thought, this is significant because it speaks of us, we need to carefully guard ourselves as we're carrying the torch. What happened to the five goats? He said, you are going to the eternal lake of fire. Eternal lake of fire. So, if we're not examining ourselves, or guarding ourselves, guarding our witness, and being a true believer, one of the things that we need to do is to be thoughtful for the love of God and for our brothers and sisters and be helping them out in any way we can help them out. So when did you find me naked and you clothed me? And we should not ever go and say, you know, well, you're not clothed or naked. Go on home and be warm and be comfortable. And the scripture clearly tells us, if we do not give them what they need to keep warm, then we have failed. not only him, but we fail our witness before God. And so, we think of the other things that we do. If we, when they were naked, we did not clothe them. If we were sick and we didn't console them or try to help them out, or if they were in need of anything, our brothers and sisters, then we did not reach out to them and try to console them, and not only console them, but to become their supplier in Christian love, because we want to be more Christ-like as He leads us in the walk of our life. Do we really care for our brothers and sisters? Or do we find some excuse why we can't do it? Why can't I do this? Or why can't I do that? We just need to be careful that while we're sleeping at the wheel, so to speak, our torch should go out. And when it comes time for the Master to come, and He comes and He finds us one or the other, either the goat, or He finds us to be the sheep. But to the sheep, come on and inherit what I have prepared for you. So we take from all of these things, this is a little bit has to do with James chapter 2 and verse 14, 15, 16. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you your faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Abraham and Isaac laying here on the altar. And Abraham believed God as he took his knife and was about to plunge it into his own son according to what God had told him to do. But he knew that God would provide for him an acceptable sacrifice, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one to whom we can turn. And He is the only one that will reward us when we come to that point where we are called and we arrive on the same flight. But we're going to have some goats, hypocrites, if you will, and we're going to have some true believers in Christ. I don't know how many. I have no idea. The Lord knows. But He will say, come and inherit that which I have prepared for you. But to the goats, remember, the ones that are not too bright, to you, you will go to the eternal lake of fire. It's interesting to note that fire never goes out. It doesn't say anything in the scripture that this fire will be extinguished somewhere, but it says that it's an eternal fire. It will burn forever and ever and ever. And we don't want to find ourselves there. So we need to examine ourselves, that we're thinking of our brothers and sisters just as Christ thinks of us. And as we carry the torch of our Christianity, let it be well supplied, and let us be mindful of all of our brothers, reaching out to them, helping them in their time of need, demonstrating the grace of God, the new covenant, with the word of God that is written upon our hearts, so that we can recognize we are without excuse. We, just as Christ left the man explained to himself, and He talked to those who did not do what they should have, and He recognized that they were not sufficient sufficient had not done those things that they profess to be doing. We don't want to miss the blame. Anytime we talk about where's the driver of this thing, the driver is going over his checklist. Now, Abel will know all about the checklist because that's something you do one time and then forget it. That's the one thing you don't want to do. And when you see a big supersonic plane, you'll see the pilot and his co-pilot, the engineer, they all have a book open, and it's called the checklist. And they're going over one item, another item, checking, first of all, they did a walk around outside the plane to make sure the old saying the truck drivers is, well, kick the tires and light the fire, we're out of here. Well, and that don't work for the plane. You can walk around and kick the tires, but when you light the fire, things are going to happen. So we are mindful of that we want to be doing. They're doing their checklist so that when we prepare to leave on our plane, so that we are all safe. They're thoughtful for us and taking us safely to where it is that we want to go. Where is it that we want to go? Heaven, right? To the place God has prepared for us. And we have confidence that our pilot, the Lord Jesus Christ, is guiding us, and that we are listening carefully to the instructions that we have received, and that we are exercising the same, so that we don't wind up being a goat instead of a lonely, who are we, a sheep, who is our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows what's good for us, and he will lead us there. Let us be faithful in our calling. And so now we'll close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful to you for divulging a few things that we needed to know, a few things perhaps that we did not need to know. But all in all, Lord, as you have spoken to us of it this morning, let us understand that faith without works is dead. Let us not do those works just for show, but rather we do those things because we sincerely care about you. And in so doing it, we care about our brothers and sisters to demonstrate that same thing. And Lord, we ask now that you will continue to bless us as we now begin the rest of our service and remember our precious Savior who came to die for us to make our end of life like to his eternal kingdom. And we pray that truly we are of the sheep. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.